All right, welcome back in. More of the Connor Amber Show. You're on 1620 The Zone and on 1620thezone.com. A reminder for you all that this week's Zone deal is to Le Voltaire, a locally owned French restaurant serving the Omaha community for 22 years. Do you think they have pasta there?
Almost assuredly,
I would imagine so. It's unpretentious down-home cooking, serving classic French dishes, handcrafted cocktails, and more. With this week's deal, get two $25 vouchers for only $25. So think about that. Two $25 vouchers. What's 25 times two, Josh?
Hold on.
Take your time.
Carry them. 50.
50, and you can buy it for only $25. It's either $25 off or half off, depending on how you look at it. On sale this Friday at 9 at 1620thezone.com. Also, we'll have a chance to win your free voucher on the tweet bag tomorrow.
Hello. I actually don't see pasta on the
dinner menu. I apologize.
Nor the lunch menu. All right. Although, wow, that croque monsieur looks delicious.
Yeah, just go get it. That's probably good because people will feel the urge if they get a plate of pasta to start throwing it at people.
Gotta chuck this.
Smart place.
I got a couple bites left. I'm not going to eat it. I'm going to throw it.
I've been wondering about this for a couple days. Where's Ryan Kalkbrenner? Where is the tree man? What's he doing? Well, he has entered into the 2024 NBA draft. However, he has maintained his final year of college eligibility, keeping the door open to a potential return to Omaha. He would have to withdraw from the draft before the end of next month, before the end of May. Trey Alexander declared for the draft, and somebody reported that he did. I mean, he took his eligibility with him. He took his extra year and put it in his back pocket, you know, like a timeout at the end of the game. It's like, I'm just gonna take that home with me.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so Trey's not coming back. And I we never talked about this. So Trey announced that he was going during the tornadoes.
Yes. I don't know if that was a scheduled tweet or if he saw an opportunity
bury
this story.
No. It could not have been that. He's not here right now, by the way. So he tweeted out before.
What do you mean he's not here?
He's not in Omaha.
Okay.
He doesn't know what's going on. But he did hop on Twitter before that, and he was like, hey, prayers for all my people back in Omaha, because he must have seen what was going on. And then not 20 minutes later, he was like, I'm in the draft.
So he knew it was going on.
He knew that there was some devastation in the area, yes.
And that, now maybe he didn't know the extent. But
he had to get it out there, man.
But
you're
also
sitting on that, you can't just sit on it longer.
But he put it out at 4:45 on a Friday.
Yeah.
Classic news dump territory.
Definitely. But I don't think Trey Alexander is thinking about news dumps.
You don't?
No. Why?
You don't think?
Why would you want to hide the fact that you're going to the NBA?
You don't think the agent was like, look, it's going to be some blowback. This is when you do it.
Why would there be blowback? We all love Trey.
In between the first two rounds of the NFL draft on a Friday afternoon.
No, we're good with Trey. Trey, you go. Do your thing, Trey.
Go accomplish your childhood dream. I have no ill will towards him, but betting there's a lot of Creighton fans that were like, oh, how could you do this to us, bruh?
Most of it is probably, how could you do this during a tornado?
There was probably some of that, yes.
Yeah. It's like, not now, jeez.
Wait till the morning.
This is how I read it. I was sitting there, I was like, damn it, I want to like properly honor him. Like, I want to do a tweet. I was like, you know, he's one of the best, and great guy to work with and all this, which is all true. But I felt like I couldn't express those opinions because there was destruction of our town.
Time and place happened.
Going on. Right, exactly. Exactly.
What if he did it this afternoon after the show? Just really drafted up something nice.
But I feel like I would have missed the window.
Draft hasn't happened yet?
That's true. Maybe I'll do it on the draft night.
Oh, okay.
It's probably right before. That's probably right during the College World Series, though. So I'll be thinking about other stuff.
Mm. What's an NBA mock draft say about our
young boys?
Yeah,
our gentlemen. Our
lottery simulation and full two round predictions. This is by Jonathan Wasserman.
I think we'll have a better idea, by the way, of this when they once they do the combine or the draft process.
What's an Alex Sarr?
Alex Sarr?
The Perth Wildcats.
The basketball people are going to get triggered at you, Josh. You have to know this.
Sorry, I don't follow the French leagues.
Sorry, you should. What are some other names on there?
Number two to the Spurs, Nikola Topic? Topic?
Nice. This is an NBA mock draft?
He's Serbian, yes.
Well, he's Serbian. Topic? His name is Nikola. He's going to win the MVP and be drafted during a Quesarito commercial.
Third pick, also from France, Zachary Resaker.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Is this really the draft?
Fourth pick, Reed Sheppard, Kentucky.
Go. Oh, man. I saw Reed Sheppard do jack squat against Jack Golke. That was awesome.
Number five, Donovan Klingon. Stephon Castle.
Okay, so this is a bad draft.
Yeah.
So you...
Dalton Kanak in there.
Nice.
Where are my guys at?
Where's Exciting Whites.
Oh, Isaiah Collier. Kyle Filipowski.
See, you don't know any of these people.
I don't know any of these, but they're right. Oh, Terrence Shannon Jr., New Orleans Pelicans. Oh,
so if you're one of these guys, or if you're Kalkbrenner or Trey Alexander, are you thinking, all right, this is a perfect opportunity for me to, like, you know, go high in the draft?
Bad draft?
Yeah.
Why would the Bucks draft Zach Edey?
It doesn't matter how high you draft, you get drafted. You just want to make a team. You want to be in the right situation. I still, by the way, am operating on the belief that I thought Trey was going to be gone. Trey is gone. And I think Kalkbrenner will be back. I don't know if it's leaning one way or the other, but that's just pure speculation and a guess at this point.
Tyler Kolek to the Jazz.
Nice. He won't have to read in the NBA. Congratulations to him. We'll have to read in Utah.
Baylor Shireman, 41 to the 76ers.
See, I think Baylor is Creighton's best draft prospect.
His pro comparison is Joe Ingles.
Hell yeah, it is. He is Joe Ingles. He's already Joe Ingles. He's like a more creative Joe Ingles. Like with the way he gets his shots. That's a perfect comp. He is definitely Joe Ingles.
You got excited about that comp.
He is. That's exactly right. Yeah, that's correct. All right, so there's
Hunter Salas, 53 to the Pistons.
Nice. Yeah, so there's a whole bunch of guys that went in the process, and including our own big tall tree man.
No Trey, no Caulk in here.
In the draft.
Yeah.
The actual draft. Yeah, so I'm looking at the page of early entrants right now. There's a billion of them.
Feels like a lot.
Trey Alexander and Ryan Kalkbrenner are both indeed on there. Also on there, of note, Frankie Fiddler.
Hello.
Out of the University of Nebraska, Omaha. Sure he'll be going to school next year, though. And St. Thomas. Also on here. Out of Millard North via... what school did he go to first? Loyola, and then Northern Colorado, and now USC next year. Mm. So some local flavor in that draft too. All right, let's get to one or two things here, Josh. During the segment, we'll still talk about Creighton in Nebraska later on tonight. Once again, Bigelow will join us at the top of the next hour. Oh yeah, I had this Fedoni video left over from yesterday. So let's play this, Josh. Are we ready to put some video up here?
We can put some video.
We are a video now. Please join us on YouTube, 1620 The Zone TV, or at 1620thezone.com, where you can watch along. You can see my very shiny, bald head today. And you will now, the next thing you will see is Matt Rhule talking about Thomas Fedoni. Here he is.
Pretty explosive guy. I mean, he's 4'5", you know. I think the biggest thing with Thomas is, you know, at the end of the season, I said to Thomas, I was like, What a great fall we had, you know, meaning him, like us, we had. He's like, what do you mean? He is. What I love about Thomas Fedoni, man, he's never happy. He's never happy. And it's because he wants to be great. He wants to be the best tight end in the world. And he's always trying to get better. But my point was, coming off two ACLs, to get through a spring, a fall camp, and a season healthy. That's what he needed. Because now instead of rehabbing this winter, he's lifting. And he's run. I mean, he's in the 260 range at 4.5 with, you know, 34-inch arms. He's a physical freak. And he's loyal. You know, every team in the country is trying to get him to leave and go there. And the kid's in Nebraska Cornhusker through and through. So I love that guy. And I love his approach. And it's still good for our players to see a guy who's like, who's so obsessed with being great and never happy. You know what I mean? But at the same time, to your point, he just had to have a true off season. He just had to have weightlifting where he's not rehabbing. And now I think you're starting to really see what he can do.
There you go. There's Matt Rhule. Thomas Fedoni, always triggered, as Josh Peterson can attest to. So people listen to that and they watch that and they were like, we got to do something about the tampering. He's talking about the tampering. Every school in the country is trying to get him. Like I said earlier, with the when we were talking about the portal and Chief Borders and that whole thing, I've gotten to the point where I am now ignoring coaches talking about tampering. I'm ignoring.
You have to.
I'm ignoring it because it's too prevalent. It's everywhere. It's like air now. You know, it's just there. I don't even notice it anymore. So it's an admirable quality, and I think it's notable for Matt Rhule to be like, yeah, in every, you know, people were trying to get him to go into the portal, and he was like, no, I want to stay here and finish it. Like, that's certainly admirable of him. But the story from that clip is not, oh, they're tampering with Nebraska's roster. They're going to continue to tamper with Nebraska's roster.
Definitely.
They're going to be tampering with Nebraska's roster. I don't know how much tampering Nebraska's doing with other people's rosters. Probably some.
That means you have players worth stealing.
Right. It's just out there. Like, there's just tampering. The takeaway, the headline of that clip that we just played you is, the question was from Sipple, and he said, you know, hey, Coach Matt Rhule, does he look more explosive to you? Because I thought the same thing. I actually thought he did.
He looked like he was trying to get on angry runs on NFL Network.
Yeah, so like to Josh's original point last year was not that Thomas Fedoni sucked. It was that he felt like, and I would echo this thought, like I felt like we were past the point in his career where we were really going to get that high, like five-star ceiling out of him anymore because he's suffered a couple injuries and, you know, he was not particularly productive last year, but now enter new quarterback, enter a real life offense, enter playmakers around him. And I think most importantly for him, stacking healthy camps on top of each other. I'm definitely as high on him as I've ever been outside of, I guess, pre-injury the first time, you know, when we talk about him as a recruit. I am as high on him as I've ever been. I think the circumstances around him have gotten a lot better. And I think he just generally, genuinely looks better, like just healthier and ready to roll. So, he probably stands as one of, if not, I mean, you could take this a lot of different ways. He might be the player that benefits the most from the rising tide of the offense, right? The better wide receiver room. Everything stayed the same basically in that tight end room. But the quarterback getting better, the operation getting better in general, like them doing some different stuff, more dynamic stuff on offense. He probably stands as the player to benefit the most because he has the potential to be a game-breaking type of player, and he's going to see more opportunities as the ball gets to him more consistently. It's not just like, we'll see. I know he was kind of a favorite target last year, but yeah, I think there's definitely more out there for Thomas Fedoni, more so now than I thought there was after the first injury and then certainly after the second. It's just a long road back, but he looks to be in the right spot for it. So there's Matt Rhule on Thomas Fedoni. Coming back.
Is Thomas Fedoni going to leave?
He's getting poached. They're poaching him, Josh.
And Matt Rhule is praising him in front of a microphone.
Oh, I like that.
You told me to listen to this differently now.
No, I think he said it out loud that time. Okay. He was like, they're trying. And I'm going to say it out loud this time.
And now they'll stop.
And they'll definitely stop now. For sure. We just got to, you know, we just got to not let players go on spring break to wherever Caden Proctor went.
Galveston?
Hopefully. He might have went to Galveston. I don't know. What if I typed in, where did Caden Proctor go to spring break?
That dirty ass water.
Proctor. Go to spring break. Because that was the whole thing with him, right? He was at Iowa, and then he went to spring break with all of his friends, and they were like, come back to Alabama. And then he did.
And he's like, you know what?
I think that's a good idea.
You're right.
I think that's a really good idea. Heading back to Alabama. Let's see. I don't see it. Somebody must have written the story. Caden Proctor went on spring break last week with several former Alabama teammates. Linda back at Alabama. Ah, gosh, I'd like to see where. Hopefully it wasn't Galveston. Dirty water. All right, we got to get to MLB reaction overreaction. All right, because we need to spread out and get some time on this one because our writers are, they'd be really triggered if we didn't get to all their stuff today.
Had to rush the first debut of it.
Yeah, it'd be horrible. And we got the top five poll questions. So let's get a quick phone call in here from Rick. Hey, Rick, what's going on?
Hi, Josh Connor. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, the Fedoni thing kind of rang a bell with me. Remember when Mahomes got hurt against Cincinnati and he limped off the field in the first half, and I said he wouldn't be allowed to run in the Derby if they had any type of protocol for humanity, whether toward an animal or towards a human.
I do remember this, yes.
And I just seen where Bob Baffert isn't allowed to run a horse in the Derby. Maybe Mr. Rule could get a hold of some of that medicine that Mr. Baffert has that makes things get better just all of a sudden. I just thought I'd throw that out. And
maybe Thomas Fedoni is already taking the horse medicine, Rick.
Well, obviously, but the ones that Baffert puts it in, they're winning derbies until they get the drug test. Okay. Thanks for taking my call. You guys have a great show, and have a good week.
Thank you, Rick. I appreciate the call.
Poll question, is Thomas Fedoni taking the horse medicine? That could be taken a number of ways.
Yeah.
Some of them very spicy.
Yeah, because, you know, people see stuff on Twitter, and they're like, what's this? And then they don't care to look. So let's maybe not. Yeah. Let's maybe not, but I really like it. I really
heard
like
on
it.
Happer's show, Fedoni was injecting ivermectin into his eyeballs.
And now look at him. He won the Kentucky Derby.
Did you guys know Thomas Fedoni was running in the Kentucky Derby this weekend? Man, Matt Rhule really lets those guys do multiple sports.
Donnie writes in.
Hi, Donnie.
Some dude in a Toyota Corolla just cut me off, so I hit him in the face with a full bowl of poached Fedoni. It's combining a couple bits from the show today. Thank you, Donnie. I appreciate that. I'm going to put that one up on the text line Twitter account for sure. All right, we'll come back. MLB reaction over reaction. The writers, they were itching to write. They were itching to get those takes out.
They had to learn a lot about baseball in a very short amount of time, but they're very excited that we hired them to do this segment.
They are very excited. So we'll have that next on 1620 The Zone.